on a Monday, Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strope with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all. Studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here. As always, Tiny Ann's Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Good to be with you the Monday after Championship Sunday in the NFL. Super Bowl 59 is set. It's Chiefs and Eagles for the second time in 3 years. People very excited about that, I imagine. Joshy, fired up or what?
I want to see the Chiefs three-peat.
Yeah, you've been on that bandwagon from the get-go.
Sure have.
Since the Packers got eliminated, at least. Yeah, I'm good with that, I think. But obviously there is a thought of, do you want to lose or be eliminated by the team that won the Super Bowl? Like the Packers could be with the Eagles. Four of the last six playoff losses for the Packers have come to the eventual NFC champion, by the way. So that'll make you feel good about where we're at. We'll see.
Doesn't make me feel anything, going to be honest.
Okay. Just figured I'd throw that out there. We will get to Super Bowl 59. We will talk about the Chiefs' potential three-peat. Do the Packers' three-peat counts? We're going to talk about that. Three-peats count? There we go. Got it the second time. We'll talk about that. Similarities between the Super Bowl teams and the Packers. Differences between the Super Bowl teams and the Packers. We will get to all that ahead. But I have a confession to make off the rip. So, we talk often about my lack of hobbies. I don't have very many of them, admittedly. I've been playing pickleball recently. Played the last two Saturdays. It's been going well, to be honest with you. I really enjoy it. It's like an easier but also more difficult version of tennis, which I played a little bit in college.
Let's ease off of more difficult.
There's some the speed of the ball is more difficult because sometimes when you really get cooking, and it's hard to track. But other than that, I mean, it's easier. Yes, older people play it for a reason.
It was made to be easier.
Thanks, Josh.
Yep.
Now, way back when, and Josh, I think this is before you were ever on the show, I discovered the TikTok shop probably a year and a half ago.
Jeez.
And I bought a pair of shoes back then off the TikTok shop.
Yeah.
For $1.25. I wore them to Summerfest once this past summer, and they hurt my back, so I was like, I'm never wearing these again. But the issue is I really don't have athletic shoes, I've noticed. So the last 2 weeks when I've been playing pickleball, I've been wearing my $1.20 TikTok shoes. And the people I've been playing with haven't looked at them and been like, what clunky-ass shoes are you wearing right now, right? Nobody said a word to me about them. But I got to say, they're working. They're helping me out.
What do you mean helping you out?
They're not hurting my feet. I can move quick. They're flexible.
It seems like, if I were to take a guess here, you're likely benefiting from the short amount of time you're actually in them as opposed to them being a quality, good shoe. Like, orthopedics and stuff like that, like, your shoes really, really matter a lot. And they matter to, like, people can, like, have long-term injuries based on bad footwear and improper footwear.
Fair.
Backs, legs, knees, ankles.
But I'm young. I'm feeling all right.
You're not that young anymore.
Hey, what is that supposed to mean?
You're not young enough to be, I'm buying $1.25. You have a job. It's very similar to the job I have in many respects.
Hold on a minute. Hold on.
We can afford more than $1.25 shoes.
Maybe at the point I bought them, I couldn't, Joshy.
You're no longer at that point.
That's accurate, but
you could get a nice pair of like $50 shoes and have nothing to worry about.
I could.
Go over to a Dick's Sporting Goods and just grab some tennis shoes.
I could do that, by all means. And I actually intended on doing that last week. I just forgot.
Go on Amazon. You could have them at your house in the next day.
So, but why can't I just continue with the $1.50 shoes if they're sufficing, if they're doing
Here's one option. You stick with those, and then you suffer a horrific injury and go, man, I should have switched out those shoes.
Should have listened to Joshy.
Yeah, or you just go buy some shoes, take care of it, go to a reputable brand. One we know has a long history of good use on the feet.
Does by any chance the brand you're referring to happen to have a logo on the hat you're wearing?
That would be one of them, but you could go Nike, New Balance, Adidas, Asics. I'm wearing Asics right now.
Are Asics cool?
They are in the streetwear world a little bit.
So I guess where my thought is if I don't wear Nikes, I'm better just wearing my all gray non-branded shoes. Nobody's going to say anything.
I don't think people are looking for brands, and I you wear whatever shoes you want, but when it's $1.25 and pose a potential
injury. Free shipping, by the way, too. $1.25 all in.
Even more reason. Why are they so cheap? Were maybe they trying to offload them for as much as many as possible?
Yes, that's my thought.
Yeah, probably because there are some issues.
No. They're perfectly great. They just had to, you know, 2.0. TikTok shoes 2.0 were coming out, so they had to get rid of them. So I'm going to stick with them for the time being. But you think I'm going to get injured wearing them?
Yeah, I think you'll roll, like a seam will burst, a sole will come
detached. Ooh, like Zion style?
Yes, and then we'll have to hear how you're just an athlete like him.
Yeah. I do fear that.
Can we back up for a second? You made a comment, sure. Strofe, about how, well, I don't think people will say anything if I'm just wearing my gray nondescript shoes. You need to get out of the high school mentality. No one is looking at your shoes. I don't remember the last time I looked at another adult's feet.
So here's the thing. So my girlfriend for Christmas got me a pair of Nike Dunks, right? Just black and white Dunks. I have gotten a million compliments on
people
them.
People look at shoes.
Yeah, people look at shoes. It's not a high school mentality. People look at them. I was kind of waiting for one of these pickleball sessions for somebody to be like, what the hell is Strofe wearing on his feet?
I think when they're like an athletic shoe and you can't really tell, that's the problem. Like, I've worn Birkenstocks for better part of 20 years now. And at first, 10 years ago, when people started noticing them again, it was, oh, you're still wearing those? I had those in high school. And then they became cool again, and it was like I was hunting a trend. And it's like, no, I've just never stopped wearing them, and I'm not going to.
How stubborn are you on a scale from 1 to 10?
Not as stubborn as you would think.
I think you're pretty stubborn.
I just, like, I like things, and I don't, I'm not trying to chase a trend. There are things that become trendy that I'll be like, oh, that's cool, but I'm never going to stop wearing blue jeans. I'm never going to stop wearing hats. I'm never going to stop wearing flannels. And I don't care if it gets popular or unpopular. I'm going to keep wearing them. Birkenstocks, going to keep wearing them. That's just how it is. I am what I am.
I'm never going to stop wearing the same four things I wear every single day of my existence. How many flannels do you own?
10 to 15.
And you just rotate through them?
Yeah, some of them I don't like more, like, or some lose a button, and I'm like, I got to get that button fixed.
Legitimate question, no judgment. Is that a one wear and wash type thing, or do flannels get multiple wears?
Flannels will get multiple, but it's usually if I wear 5 in a week, like, probably I'll wash 3 of them, just depending on. I just washed them all. I washed, had basically a full load of flannels the other day.
Sweet, dude.
Yeah, just got to get. I use the washer and dryer a lot. I don't know if other people do, but it seems like some people like to rewear things like jeans.
Pants.
Yeah. Jeans are
yeah.
Jeans they get the best after like 3 wears.
Khakis, jeans. I wear sweatpants over.
You gotta be careful about. They can get wrinkles in them just from wear and
yeah. But I'm not like, I'm not wearing slacks. You know.
No.
So, yeah, most things get reworn. I mean, shirts typically don't, but...
Yeah, no.
Not even typically. No, they just don't.
Yeah.
I sweat too much.
And you got a chance of stains, and you don't want that.
How about Will Shipley?
What about him?
Nice touchdown run yesterday for the Philadelphia Eagles as they punched their ticket to Super Bowl.
How was the first
59.
Thing you mentioned about a 55-point game, Will Shipley?
I am currently on ESPN.com/NFL/team/PHI. And on the right side of the ESPN homepages for each team, they have their draft picks. And I see Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Jalex Hunt, Will Shipley. So I saw his name. It just made me think about that game. Will Shipley with the final touchdown in that game. 55-point outburst for the Philadelphia Eagles against the rival Washington Commanders as the Eagles, for the second time in 3 years, headed back to the Super Bowl. And they will play after another instant classic last night between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs looking for their third straight Super Bowl win. It's Chiefs-Eagles Sunday, February 9th in New Orleans. And Josh, he said it at the top, he's rooting for history, he's rooting for the three-peat, he's rooting to see Patrick Mahomes do stuff that no quarterback has ever done, or at least since Bart Starr has never done. I'm struggling on who to root for in this game because I'm cool with history. Don't get me wrong. And Mahomes and the Chiefs are fun. I still think they get the benefit of officiating sometimes and, you know, lack thereof sometimes. But that does not take away from their greatness. Patrick Mahomes is on the path to become, if not the second greatest quarterback in the history of the game, just in terms of winning, in terms of performance. I mean, they've won now 17 one-possession games in a row. They went 12-0 this year in one-possession games. You just can't bet against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And I definitely wouldn't in the Super Bowl, but this is a rooting thing. So I guess as a Green Bay Packers fan, you have to weigh the options. Option number one is root for a team to become the first team in the Super Bowl era and only the second team ever, technically third, but second franchise ever, to win three championships in a row. Or you root for the team that ended your season in the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't really love it either way. This is kind of a boring Super Bowl in terms of, like, I love parody in the NFL. I've talked about this for weeks now. Parody is what makes the NFL so great, right? When you look at other leagues, typically you're seeing repeat offenders in the championship series. In baseball, it's the Yankees, it's the Dodgers. Every year, it seems one of two or both, obviously, in case of last year, are in the World Series. In the NBA, forever, it was the Golden State Warriors. A little bit of parody going on right now in terms of the champion year over year. But the NFL has always been the best at parody, despite Tom Brady and the Patriots getting there almost every year. There were years where other teams would sneak through. See the Pittsburgh Steelers, see the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, at the end, see the Kansas City Chiefs. This just feels like there was no parody. At the beginning of the postseason, it felt like, okay, the Lions are really beat up and the Eagles are really good. They're probably going to get there. And who the heck is betting against the Chiefs? And that's what you got. You got a nice little surprise in the NFC Championship game of the Commanders, but entering that game, did anybody really believe the Commanders would win? Like, maybe they cover the 6.5, which obviously they didn't. But I don't think anybody entered yesterday's game between the Eagles and the Commanders going, yeah, the Commanders are going to win that one. The Chiefs go absolutely bonkers against a pretty weak and old defense. 55 points. Which means, statistically, the Packers held the Eagles, at least so far in the postseason, to the lowest offensive output, only 22 points scored in the wild card round. I really don't know who to root for. I want it to be a good game. I think I'm probably rooting for the Chiefs. I think I'm Team Joshy on that. I would imagine Hunter is also rooting for the Chiefs because he's a Cowboys fan, so I don't think he's rooting for the Eagles to win. But would I be okay if Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley got a Super Bowl ring? Yeah, I would like that, to be honest with you. Saquon has had just an unbelievable year, and it would be cool to see him get a ring. But as a Packers fan, it's like a Sophie's choice. It's like, okay, do I root for the team to get a three-peat, just like the Packers of the 1930s and the 1960s, or do I root for the team that ended our season in a game that was certainly winnable back in Wild Card Weekend? So that's the struggle I've been having since those games came to a close yesterday. Hunter, I don't want to assume for you, but as a Cowboys fan, I imagine you are not rooting for the Eagles to win Super Bowl 59.
I most definitely am not. I can't say the words about the Eagles that I want to say because I will get in trouble for saying them. That's how I feel about the Eagles. I hate the fact that they're even in the Super Bowl. I basically didn't watch the NFC Championship game because I hated that game so much. So I'm all in on the Chiefs. Like, I don't think people understand fully how awful Eagles fans are. Like, they are potentially the worst fan base in all of sports.
I will say, though, I got to give them credit because they never... They never give up, man. They greased up the poles in downtown Philly last night.
Didn't stop.
Fans are still climbing them.
Yep.
Yeah, fans are still finding ways to climb. Which, admittedly, I've never climbed or attempted to climb a street pole. It looks like it'd be difficult work, though, Joshy. Like, especially if it's greased up. I imagine I would not succeed. I do not have the upper body strength to succeed.
So what ends up happening is they take, you know, like a paint roller, and they use that to grease it up. Well, they don't go high enough where if you get boosted on somebody's shoulders, they just go high enough up. They usually grab where the traffic light is and then just pull themselves up, and now you've got to party up on the light poles.
How do you get down?
You just ride it down.
Okay.
Much like a fireman.
Why do you know this?
I've watched him do it. There's videos on the internet.
So you've never done it?
No. And does it look like I'm climbing poles?
Hey, man. You've got one of the most fascinating backgrounds in the world. I'm not counting anything against you.
No.
Like in 2011, what was Joshy DiMaggio up to after the Packers won the Super Bowl?
I was actually out with my parents just in Muguanago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm trying to think.
How old were you in 2011?
This is 13 years ago.
Yep.
I was 23.
14 years ago.
14 years, 23,
22, 23. Okay.
Just got hammered at a local establishment.
With the rents.
Yeah, and some friends, but.
Nice. So you weren't climbing street poles in the street.
I mean, I'm not a big crowds and go out and that kind of, that's not my style. There were people famously like, I mean, North Avenue down in Milwaukee was like flooded with people after that game. But it's a Sunday. I got work in the morning. So one thing you know about me, if it's a school night, I ain't out.
Joshy the grinder.
Joshy is a grinder, brother. I was in middle school in the Green Bay area public school district. I got Monday off. I didn't do anything the next day.
What? Did you take it off, or was it?
My dad called me on, I think.
Yeah.
And then we were off whatever day the parade was. Tuesday, I think it was. Maybe Wednesday. But we actually got school off the day of the parade. And I fainted at the parade. I fainted. I was too.
Huh.
Yep.
I was drinking beers, and they were freezing instantly.
I watched it in a hospital bed, so. Glad you had a good time.
I mean, I don't know if I had much better of a time, to be quite frank. I was there.
Drinking frozen beers.
But it was as cold as I've ever been in my life.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, there you go. So, you're rooting for the three-peat. Do you count the Packers three-peats in the 1930s and the 1960s? Let's start there, because that's a topic of conversation that I've seen floating around the internet today, where Packers fans talk about, you know, hey, you know, don't forget, I get this the first in the Super Bowl, but the Packers did that two different times. And I got to give credit where credit's due, by the way. Over on Packers.com, I think it was Aaron Nagler who tweeted this out yesterday. Cliff Crystal, who's the Packers team historian, talked to a bunch of analytics people, and they actually did the math on if it would be more difficult, equally difficult, or less difficult for the Chiefs to three-peat in comparison to the whatever years it was. I think it was the 1931 and 1967 Packers, or whatever the end of those three-peats were. And it had all these numbers. It was a really long read. Highly recommend if you're bored tonight and have 23 minutes.
I'm going to disregard everything.
Okay.
That the Packers.com has to say. Actually, it was just as the same. There wasn't free agency.
Oh, yeah. So it said it was,
aside from these few giant factors that would totally change right.
Well,
face of this.
Well, they acknowledged those.
Yeah, of course they did.
Quarterback level or level of play by the quarterback was very interesting. But yeah, the conclusion they came to was that it was at best equal, if not harder for the Chiefs, which it's definitely harder.
Yeah.
I mean, we can all agree with that without talking to an analytics professor. But I still thought it was interesting.
How many teams were in the NFL at that point?
The first one, it was only 8, I think, or 10.
And what they're calling as difficulty is basically one team made it, or like, it wasn't the same as
there wasn't
is,
a playoffs.
Right, and not as many teams make
so
it.
The margin of error was much thinner, right?
Right.
Where you, if you lost two regular season games, you wouldn't win the championship, or whatever it was.
Right.
So, that was kind of their case, was the margin of error is a little bit less thin this go-around, because the Chiefs could go 10-7 and still get into the playoffs.
But also, that's kind of false. We all know, like, the 7 seeds aren't winning Super Bowls.
No, typically not.
Usually not even anything lower than the 4th seed wins a Super Bowl.
No, I mean, it's a 1 and a 2 seed again.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that seems to be just about the case
weird.
Every year. 1-1 or 2-2, right? I mean, it's weird,
maybe
right? The best teams win, right? I mean, it's shocking, right? So, but anyway, the piece I did think was interesting, Joshy doesn't because he's a dork. Do you count, though, the three-peats in the 30s and the 60s? Because, look, I'm a younger Packers fan. You're a younger Packers fan. It's not like we were alive during the Bart Starr era, but it's not like this was talked about much. Like I knew it happened, but I view this completely differently. The Chiefs winning 3 Super Bowls in a row has never been done.
I don't want to discount it happening because it is still impressive, and you do still have to be excellent to win that many times in a row. It's just, it's hard to even compare the brand of football that was played then to the brand of football played now. Like, there was a distinct shift in the NFL, and that probably happened, like, early to mid 90s, where the games are just, it's a totally different sport. Like, you still score points the same way, but what we're watching happening out there is so much different. Like, free agency is a part of it. Like, there's just more people playing. There's more factors. It's like, I don't want to say I don't count it, but it, I mean, it's literally like not the same at all.
Fair.
Like,
it's very different.
It's right. Era appropriate.
Yeah. And I mean, look, we're comparing eras where dudes were working other jobs and there was no free agency. You were on the same team year after year. You had the same roster for the most part year after year. That's just not the case. What the Chiefs have done is really impressive, especially defensively, right? Like, their defense has been so good under Spags. It feels like their leading receiver outside of Travis Kelce, obviously, has changed each of the last 3 years. I mean, it's got to be close. So what they've done is so darn impressive. So I get why Packers fans are defensive, saying, hey, this is not the first time it's happened. But it is the first time in the Super Bowl era, which I think mathematically is much more difficult to do than it was back in the day. But that's not to say it wasn't impressive. It's just, it's very different. But as we acknowledge what the Chiefs are up against, I just can't go any further without saying how impressive Andy Reid is. He is the winningest coach of both of the franchises playing in the Super Bowl in a couple weeks, right? Obviously, the Eagles' most winningest coach and now the Chiefs' most wins ever by a head coach. What he has done is so unbelievably impressive since he's left Green Bay back in the 90s. You can't bet against him. You can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. I think they're going to pull it off, but it is a little irritating because, back to my point, I love the parity in the National Football League. And to have a back-to-back-to-back champion feels like we got rid of that a little bit. Joshy, what are you Googling over there? I can tell you're in the research department.
Yeah, I was just looking at the roster comparison of the 2020 Chiefs, the first time they won a Super Bowl to now. I mean, this team has Clyde Edwards-Helaire, DeMarcus Robinson, Sammy Watkins, Le'Veon Bell, Byron Pringle.
I heard Pringle is a
ball. Anthony Sherman. And then you look at the defense, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, Derek Nandi, Chris Jones, but Tre'Varius Ward, Rashad Breeland, Daniel Sorensen, Willie Gay Jr., Juan Thornhill, Le'Jarius Sneed. Like, it's a completely different team. The statics really are Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes.
That's pretty much it, right? I mean, defense, and then Chris Jones was young, but he was on those teams, and obviously he's still great for them, but outside of that, man, I mean, there is not a lot of similarities. They are getting it done with DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, and obviously Mike the big Pennell. Game yesterday, Xavier Worthy. Mike Pennell. Is that currently or 2020?
That was 20.
What did he play?
He's a defensive tackle. Packer. Former Packer.
Oh, wait. He was the draft pick. Second round pick?
Let me click his name here. I forget when he was drafted.
That's like 20... If I'm thinking of the right guy, I mean, I think, was he like an Iowa guy? Or no, Arizona State guy, right?
Yes.
The Iowa guy you're thinking of was like Mike Daniels.
Mike Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2014, he was undrafted free agent. Mike Pennell was with Jayrone Elliott. We're number 64 for the Packers.
Worst number ever.
That's got to be up there. It's got to be up there.
Can't beat D-line having 60.
So, Hunter and Josh, I think you've convinced me. We are pro three-peat as Packers fans. We are for the three-peat for the Kansas City Chiefs coming up in a couple weeks.
I think the lack of interest in the three-peat is on all of us in the media. Everyone wanted to write the Lions story so bad. Everyone wanted to write the Bills story so bad. And then the most obvious one of ultimate excellence is the one that kind of fell to the back. And now, like, we did a poll on Jen Gibbichui. The majority of people are rooting for the Eagles in this game. And I know the penalties and stuff is caught. But, like, do we just hate dynasties now? Because Jordan and the Bulls was loved by everybody except where they were playing.
Yep.
Every person looks back on that era with such reverence that they made a documentary that like changed the world and everybody watched every single moment of like it was Game of Thrones or something. And every dynasty that we've currently had or the ones I can remember, we all end up hating. And I'm not sure entirely why. Like, I know the penalties is the thing which for some reason I'm supposed to believe all 32 owners all agree that the Hunt family should get all the Super Bowls, and Jerry Jones isn't mad about that.
Yeah.
I just can't follow. Well, yeah. I don't get it, really.
Of all of the owners, Jerry Jones is the one that would be like pushing back the hardest on that. Right. And the Cowboys would have gotten to an NFC championship game in the last 29 Correct. Years. Like, that's the thing where that argument falls apart instantly. It's also weird to me that, like, we were messaging with Tausch about this a little bit going into this week, and Mark Tauscher was like, you know, do people hate the Patriots or the Chiefs more and everything? And I don't get
it's the Patriots.
See, but I honestly feel like there are more people that are more adamantly anti-Chiefs, and it's weird considering the Patriots got caught cheating twice.
And they did.
I think to compare them, it's the longevity of the Patriots is what made people start to hate them. I don't feel like they were first hated that like first run, but when they came around the second time, it was very much, and I know that's how I was, of all right, I've seen this. I've had enough. This has been going on for 15 years. I don't need this anymore. But like he wakes up, they roll out of bed, and he's in championship games. He's in Super Bowls. Like this is excellence. We can't really it's unmatched.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mahomes fatigue is real, just like Brady fatigue was real. I think the fact they're in every single commercial of every single football game doesn't help. Yeah. But I hear you. I think you're right, Hunter. I think there are more people that are vocally anti-Chiefs than there were anti. But I think anti-Patriots was just like something everybody got behind.
Yeah.
Right, towards the end. But I don't know. I was looking back at your poll you referenced, Shasha, and Jake gave it to you. It was Chiefs three-peat. Who are you rooting for? Chiefs three-peat, Eagles, or no one? 56% of people said no one.
Yeah.
Is that how disinteresting the Super Bowl is?
I mean, put it this way, that 56% won't all be sitting it out.
Well, here's what I was about to say, Joshy, right? Like, I'm never, like Nate Burleson did at the end of that AFC Championship game last night. I am not going to tell you how to fan, right? You are welcome to fan however you would like. But enjoy the final football game of the season, man.
It's going to be a long time.
We got one game left. One.
I'm going to be watching Shrine Bowls and Senior Bowls.
Hey, that's great football. Come on.
It is good football. Joshy's getting his draft crushes figured out. But enjoy it. I mean, I get it. It's not the Packers in the Super Bowl, and that's sad, and hopefully they're there next year. But I get it's a repeat of a Super Bowl from 2 years ago. I understand all this. But this is still good football being played. This is still two really good, if not the two best two teams we saw all year in the NFL going head-to-head with a Super Bowl trophy on the line. This is still Patrick Mahomes chasing Tom Brady and trying to win his fourth Super Bowl, and he's not even 30 years old yet. Like, there is a lot of appealing parts of this game, despite the fact that, yeah, we just saw it 2 years ago, and yeah, I'm fatigued by the Chiefs, but enjoy it. There's one game left. Go ahead, Joshy.
Are you guys like me in terms of watching sports where, even if I have no dog in the fight, by the end of the game, I'll have somebody I desperately want to win?
Yes.
And like my brain just takes over. And it can be for any reason. And it could be teams I never expected. Like, I'm always going to root against Notre Dame or Ohio State or teams like that. Like, there are some teams where it's just sworn enemies. But like, I could be watching Oklahoma City Thunder and Denver Nuggets game, and by the end of it, I'm going to have somebody I'm rooting for, and I have no idea why.
Let's go, Hamadou Diallo! Yeah, no, I'm with you. So yesterday, I literally found myself, I was cooking towards the end. I was making a late dinner at the end of Bills Chiefs. And I found myself during that final drive, I kept yelling, "Come on, Josh!" I was first naming him. It's not my quarterback. "Come on, Josh!" So yeah, definitely. I mean, I was always rooting for the Bills in that game. But I think, and maybe I'll sit like this until Super Bowl Sunday. Like, I really don't have a dog in this fight. I think I'm rooting for the Chiefs. But like I said before, I wouldn't be upset if Saquon Barkley got a ring, because that guy is such an unbelievable player, and it would be an unreal end to what is
career
year for him, right? And Jalen Hurts is a guy who I think it'd be really cool to see him get a ring and a second crack at it. Sirianni, I really don't care for.
He's
but
kind of a douche.
Yeah. Yeah. Zach Bond, obviously, the former friend of show, by the way, Zach Bond, who was on, I think, episode...
He is going to get paid.
He's
going to
get paid. Yeah, we're going to need to have him back.
He might be too big time for you.
That's the thing, man. When we had him on, it was like episode... So we're on episode 200... What is this, Hunter? 208. 208. Yeah, 208 of Mr. Relevant. Zach Bond was on episode 6.
Wow.
So
that forefather.
Yeah. yeah. And this was prior to the Packers-Saints game, which was Jordan Love's home debut last year, when Bond was just like a special teamser for New Orleans. Yeah. I mean, his rise is so neat as a former Badger, going from a guy that, you know, was in New Orleans for a couple of years, couldn't really carve out a defensive role, right? He was a special teamser, was able to hang on the roster because he was good, right? He's a great athlete. Goes to Philly, turns into a first-team All-Pro, and like you just said, Josh, he's on a one-year deal. He is going to get paid this offseason. So it's a really cool story, and the Badgers will have a Super Bowl champion linebacker one way or another. Leo Chanel, of course, who was the hero of last year's Super Bowl, looking to win another one here this year with Kansas City.
Even though it was interference in the back of the end zone 2 weeks ago, him running down the field with a wide receiver is like, that's another level athleticism. There's like five guys at the position maybe who can do that. And Zach Bond was on a one-year deal. He was originally like an edge guy, then moved to inside linebacker. And I mean, they don't quite, Micah Parsons has kind of gone exclusively outside at this point. But like, he's like one of, like Clay Matthews almost at that one stage of his career where he was playing both.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he can get after the passer. He's also damn good as a middle, as an inside linebacker.
He can do a little bit of everything. Yeah, Chanel's athleticism is crazy. I mean, that guy's just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, though, right? Remember when he was at Wisconsin, he had death row written in Sharpie on his arm? It was. And he was part of the grit something. Don't tell me.
The Grit Factory.
The Grit Factory, yes. Yes, on the hats. He was part of that era.
But they made the mistake, though, because they put that on the field, so then they couldn't do NIL deals for shirts because they wore it onto the field during a game.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Just random thing.
Nothing makes sense.
You mentioned that final drive, and I need to get this off my chest because it's been driving me crazy with people complaining about the refs in this game. The Bills got the ball back with 3:33 left, three timeouts, and still the two-minute warning. And James Cook, who had 134 all-purpose yards, didn't touch the ball on that drive. Like, just
Ty Johnson, baby.
Yeah, great. But the guy that was carving up the defense never touched the ball. Yeah, late in the game, right, when all you had to do was eat up clock and at least get to like the 40 to tie the game. Like, it was on the Bills. And I just needed to make sure that we said that.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I mean, did he have the first down at that one
Here's
point?
The thing. Probably. Yeah. Can I prove it?
No.
Cannot.
Nope.
Like, I don't know what to tell you in that situation.
And then I heard Ross Tucker on the Dan Patrick show this morning talking about this. Because people are saying, like, why can't they get the system that tennis has with the Hawkeye system? And he was like, you have to remember that tennis has a perfectly circular ball. And there aren't knees and elbows that need to be touching down first for it to be in or out. He's like, it's not working for, they don't have it ready for football. They're trying, but it's not anywhere close to ready to have a system like that for football. So that's never going to come, at least for the next like 10 years probably. So there's not much you can do there.
I do want to connect it to the Packers a little bit, and I think it's left out here, is the Packers were incredibly undisciplined throughout the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the Chiefs get called for less penalties is because they're as disciplined as a football team as I've ever watched in my life.
That exists.
They don't make mistakes. They don't have boneheaded penalties. They are always in a... Like, I mean, we saw late hits. We saw unnecessary roughness stuff. Like, teams get frustrated with the Chiefs and probably act out. Like,
I mean,
they don't make mistakes. We saw one, and it was like, oh my God, they fumbled.
They fumbled.
Something's in the water out there.
Well, the best part about that was they fumbled, and there was a penalty.
Yes.
And then two plays later, they gave it back, which was very fun, because they don't, to your point, right? Like, that is such a rarity for Kansas City. I mean, they have played 19 games this football season. The record is 17-2. In one score games, 12-0.
Uh-huh.
That is absolute greatness. I mean, that is almost perfection.
Yes.
Teams don't win every one score game they're in. That's why it is such an important stat in football.
Yes.
12-0 in one score games when you play 19 games total is bonkers. I mean, this Chiefs team is so unbelievably, to your point, Joshy, well disciplined, well coached, well led by their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I think I'm on the Chiefs bandwagon. You've talked me into it.
It seems like they never seem unprepared for whatever's facing them.
No.
And, I mean, I know Spags' first time as a head coach went disastrously.
Total disaster.
But that guy had the best weekend, I think, of anybody. Those two blitzes in that situation, do or die. You see so many people wimp out there and go against the way they've been. I mean, how many times do we see Jeff Hafflin go, why the hell are you rushing three here? What the hell's going on?
Yep.
He went cover zero, brought literally everybody he could, and then dialed up a perfect corner blitz. DeForest, I mean, a Superman throw, quite frankly, correct, from Josh Allen that Dalton Kincaid ended up dropping, but like, that was unbelievable.
Had Kincaid caught that pass, it would have, and the Bills would have won the game. Had Kincaid caught it and the Bills won, that play would have been remembered David Tyree forever. Level.
Yes.
Right? Like, it would have been one of the biggest, most important plays in football history. But, of course, naturally, in Buffalo fashion, it ends as a heartbreaker. Just another one to add to the list. 8 road losses in the postseason in a row for Buffalo, by the way. That's a brutal stat.
How many of them come to have been directly to Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, I would guess 4?
It's 4 yeah. now. Yeah, he's 0-4 of them. He's 0-4 against Mahomes.
That is not...
Imagine how good he'd be if he was in the NFC.
Right, here's the thing. Right? Like, think about Josh Allen. If I ask you the question right now, will Josh Allen ever win a Super Bowl? You probably say, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. He has to beat Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl. And I don't know if he's capable of doing it.
Like, injuries could be in his favor. But then he's also got the draft. Like, he's beat Lamar.
Right.
But it's not like you go out and you go, yeah, we're beating Lamar every time we go out there.
No.
And Joe he still Burrow has, looms. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. He's got Burrow and Jackson still in that conference too. Like,
and then don't forget about like the up and comers, right? You got like Justin Herbert in the AFC who could eventually evolve into something with Jim Harbaugh there. That is such a stacked conference. In the NFC, you got one team to worry about, maybe two, if the 49ers rebound. And it's the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, they are that good, and they are going to be that good going forward. So I want to get into this when it comes to relation to the Green Bay Packers. We can just do it real brief. I want to point out a similarity and a difference, or a few, between these Super Bowl teams and the Packers. The differences will be easy, right? I mean, we can get through what the Packers' shortcomings are. But watching these two games yesterday, Josh and Hunter, would love your opinion on this. Did you, at any point yesterday, go, oh, yeah, I could see the Packers doing that? Oh, yeah, the Packers are good enough there. Because it was few and far between for me. But I would say, number one, rushing the football, the Packers are really good at. And they were really good at it this year, right? Seeing what Saquon was able to do. Seeing what the Chiefs were able to do with their slew of backs. Seeing what James Cook was able to do. Like, I believe Josh Jacobs can do that in a high-pressure situation. So I would say running the football, and obviously we have a carousel of backs in Green Bay. Marshawn Lloyd obviously going to make the jump next year, hopefully as long as he can stay healthy, to get his first real NFL action. You still have Emmanuel Wilson. You still have my guy Chris Brooks. And, of course, led by Josh Jacobs. So when it comes to running the football, I feel good about where the Packers stand right now and seeing these four teams playing on Championship Sunday. The quarterback's not making a ton of mistakes. Jordan Love has in those high-pressure situations so far. Do we trust that he wouldn't or won't going forward? That's the thing I'm taking pause on a little bit. Because I believe, I'm a believer in Jordan Love. I think he can elevate into an amazing quarterback that can eventually lead this team to a Super Bowl. I do believe that. But as soon as next year, do we trust him to minimize mistakes in the highest pressure situations? Mahomes fumbled, but no other turnovers in that AFC Championship game. Do we trust Love to be that efficient and effective with the football as those two quarterbacks were? Still a little far away, but he could prove that to me in the regular season. The pass rush again this weekend is a big difference. Packers just don't have it. I like Jeff Hafley, but to Josh's point that he just made a minute ago, Spags is dialing up the most creative things ever in the highest pressure situations. And here we are talking about the Chiefs in another Super Bowl. The other difference, and this is a problem we've talked about since the season ended, there's really not that number one guy, or nobody has elevated themselves as that number one guy. Xavier Worthy did for the Chiefs. Last week, it was, of course, Travis Kelce, who is their number one pass-catching option. For Philadelphia, A.J. Brown making an impact in the NFC Championship game. Devontae Smith making a little bit of an impact in the NFC Championship game. Obviously, it was about Saquon and his three touchdowns, and Jalen Hurts on the ground and his three touchdowns. But they've still got number one true pass catchers. Packers don't have that. So when it comes to similarity, yeah, I feel good about the Packers' ability to rush the ball. I feel pretty good about their offensive line and their ability to protect Love. But I wasn't watching yesterday going, yeah, Packers could compete in this game, or the Packers belong in this game right this second. That doesn't mean they can't be next year. But I felt much more like they got to make some big moves this offseason in order to get to where we are watching yesterday.
You mentioned it there. The thing that stuck out glaringly was the quarterbacks and using their legs. That is a big difference. And even there's no reason Jordan Love can't do what Patrick Mahomes was doing. I think he was obviously a little more reticent this year because of those injuries, and he probably passed up quite a few of them. In terms of like playmaking ability, I didn't feel like any Jalen Hurts was really good and accurate. It really hadn't happened at any point this postseason. You could probably argue he just really didn't need to be all that often because they were manhandling every team they played. But I didn't come away overly discouraged because I'm also looking at through the lens of the Eagles are the best roster top to bottom. And they've done it because great opportunity at times has crossed them. Jalen Carter has some questionable character issues. He's a top two or three pick in the NFL. He slides to 9, which the Packers aren't usually drafting up there, and they hit an absolute home run. A.J. Brown, for some reason, becomes available for Mike Vrabel, who thinks he's smarter than everyone else, and the Tennessee Titans, and they sign him to a long-term deal. Jalen Hurts, when he was drafted, they were laughed at. You took a running back in the second round, a guy who can't play football, he's pretty damn good. Uh-huh. So they've blended great team building and going out and using all the avenues via trade, via free agency, and the draft to kind of build a team. Like, this Eagles team isn't going to stay this good and dominant forever.
No.
The difference also is you have 3 Hall of Famers on the Chiefs.
There you go.
Yeah, I would love Jordan Love to be one. I'd love Matt LaFleur and Tucker Kraft to join him.
Yep.
But those guys don't come around often.
Is Chris Jones a Hall of Famer?
Probably. Yeah.
They might have 4.
Yeah. So, and Tyreek Hill will probably be one himself, who was a large factor for years there. It's just, you have to build a team. You have to get better. I don't think the Packers are that far away, but you need absolute difference makers.
Yeah, and that's what was lacking so desperately this year for the Packers. Field tilters, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Bond, punch out, Cleon Mitchell, interception.
And here's a guy that I am very confident will take that next step, is Edgerrin Cooper.
Yes.
Right? I believe he will evolve into a field tilter and one of the best linebackers in the league. Could he have a Zach Bond emergence in year two? That's asking a lot because Bond has been that good this year. But could he make a nice jump like Bond did when he moved from New Orleans to Philadelphia, Edgerrin Cooper going from rookie year to second year? Yeah, I think he could make that big of an impact.
Put a stamp on it. He's an all-pro next year. I'm doing it. I'm doing it right now.
I don't think it's a bad take.
I don't know if it's first team, but he's
getting some all-pro recognition.
Yeah, it'll be second or third team, wherever he ends up.
I hope you're right. Because they need dogs like that.
Mm-hmm.
McKinney's obviously been really good for them. Who's going to be that number one corner for them? Can they get some more pressure on the opposing quarterback? I bet that's all Jeff Hafley's been thinking about the last 3 weeks. How do I manufacture more pressure? Because they need to. And I mean, I think especially divisional round and then again yesterday, it's just so evident that great teams can create pressure. And the Packers struggled with that a lot this year. So that's kind of my biggest one for sure, but I don't know if that's players, I don't know if that's scheme, I don't know. Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, you got a 13th overall pick who can't be a sheet. Put a blocking dummy out there at LT and he'll get stonewalled.
Lucas Van Ness slander here.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Win a pass rush one time. Cripes.
Strofe, one of the things you said about their similarities with the Packers and the Eagles was their running game, and I still don't think they're like really that similar though. Because I think...
Well, I'm not saying Josh Jacobs is Saquon good, so don't get that twisted.
Okay, I just... I know when that's... I wanted to make sure we were on the same page there, and I was correct in what you were saying, because, like,
yeah.
Saquon's taking what Josh... If Josh Jacobs played for the Eagles, his runs are going to be, like, 8-yard runs, and then he's just going to churn out a drive that way. Saquon takes that 8-yard run, makes three guys miss, and turns it into a 68-yard touchdown because he's so explosive. Yeah. Like, that...
He's an alien.
Yeah.
He's like, an alien.
It just blows my mind that somehow the Cowboys are still a worse organization than the Giants. Because, like, the Giants let Saquon and Xavier McKinney go. Cowboys are still worse run.
Joe Shane's got to be kicking himself, man.
I mean, in fairness, Saquon takes them from, what, 3 to 4 wins? Their mistake is not getting something for him.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's the move. Because
yes.
Danny Dimes is the reason they're in the situation they are.
Good quarterback. What can we say? Oh, good quarterback. Woody Johnson, by the way, I just saw this tweet come across. Open to welcoming Aaron Rodgers back next year.
Yeah, I think they're just... You know what?
He doesn't want him.
Sure he can.
I think, you know what I think they're setting up?
Tell me.
Aaron Rodgers' retirement, so everyone can leave kumbaya handshakes.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think he's done.
Who is he going to?
I don't know.
Which team is in need of a quarterback that is a legitimate contender?
Well, that's your first problem.
Well, you think Aaron Rodgers is going to a team that's building? He's got another 3 years in him?
What's Seattle's situation right now? I don't know if Geno's is he under contract?
I'll look it up.
Okay. I mean, I have a feeling
you think
he
they're
is.
That close?
No. But did anybody think the Jets were that close?
Yeah, because their defense and their young talent, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. Well, how did that work out?
Well,
Packers are going to go trade for Garrett Wilson. That's what the rumor mill's saying.
I'd love it.
I would too. It's not happening. All right. Good combo. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time now for what we learned. I'm going to lead off, unless anybody has any reservations on that.
Nah, go ahead.
Okay, sounds good to me. What I learned is even when things are going poorly, having unwavering faith is important. You can find this entire interview, ESPN Milwaukee, on YouTube, as well as we will get it up in the Mr. Relevant podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, if you're interested in hearing it. But I had a... Green Bay head coach Doug Gottlieb on Sunday Karma yesterday. We talked for 19 minutes. You got to listen to what... Josh, you got to listen to this clip, because I imagine neither of you have heard this yet.
No.
And I would like you to listen to what he said to me yesterday, how I handled it, and the reaction. It's about 80 seconds or so long. So just take a listen to Doug Gottlieb talking about...
80 seconds?
Well, just listen.
A minute 20?
Yes, a minute 20. hold on real quick. I play the mini crossword, New York Times, every day. Me and my friends have this thing we do where you don't say a minute 40. You say 100 seconds. It just sounds better. Anyway, so it's about 80 seconds.
It doesn't. But...
Okay.
No, it's a lot more seconds than minutes.
It's true. Listen to what Doug Gottlieb... We were talking about... His team's a little beat up in terms of injuries, and if they get healthy in time for the Horizon League tournament, this is what Green Bay's head coach, who has lost 17 games in a row, who I like, Doug Gottlieb, had to say yesterday on Sunday Karma.
I don't think anybody wants to play us. The only thing we're lacking is the having done it and won the games, you know, completed the task. So that's just the reality of it. And maybe it's because my guys are young enough, or maybe it's I'm ambitious enough that I mean it. Like, people would think, like, guys are checking out. Where am I going next year? What am I doing? We've had our best practices, and the guys are all energetic. Like, look, it's a gut punch when you lose those games. You're like, damn, we lost again?
Of course.
Damn, what happened? We had it. But it's not that they don't see that we're not coaching the process, and then eventually the results will follow.
So I you just said something that caught my ear, Doug. You said, if we have all of our guys, nobody's going to want to play us. I know you have that attitude because you're in the gym every day with
those
guys. No,
it's not the attitude. That's the reality. I have the best player in the Horizon League by a sizable amount. He hasn't played. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Anthony Roy play.
I have.
He's really,
I've texted
really
you
good.
About him, Doug. He's a really good player. But yeah. You've missed him most of the season now.
No, I mean, we lost him. We were up 8 at Santa Barbara, and he got hurt. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard.
So we'll cut it there. That's Doug Gottlieb yesterday on Sunday Karma. So Anthony Roy, who he alludes to, was the leading scorer in the country. He was averaging more points per game than anybody else in Division I basketball. And then got hurt, maybe a month and a half ago and hasn't been back. That was the same guy who I think we may have talked about back in November. He benched him because he missed a shoot around and the Green Bay fan base was going bananas. This is the same guy we're talking about here. He's a good player. I couldn't believe you could hear me stutter because I literally said, and if you were watching the video side, you see me talk to Kyle Wallace, who was producing for a second. I made sure I heard him correctly because, look, I respect the hustle. I respect the unwavering faith you have to have in your team despite having the longest losing streak in the country. But to say nobody wants to see us if we're healthy, do you think Bart Lundy at Milwaukee's thinking, oh, boy, Green Bay's getting healthy? Or Robinson at Cleveland State? Is going, oh boy, if Green Bay gets healthy, we're in trouble. Like, I don't think anybody's, like, I understand where he's coming from, I guess, but that caught me by surprise. Reactions as you each hear that for the first time. Hunter literally laughed out loud at the beginning of it, which made me giggle.
Go ahead, Hunter.
I didn't realize I'd left my mic on there. So that's like, it's insane. Like, no one thinks that, Doug. That's great if you guys do. Awesome. Great mentality. Like, you obviously have to have that messaging. But nobody's actually thinking that in the rest of the conference. Like, and the problem is, they'll probably surprise somebody in that first round of the tournament, and then all of a sudden he'll feel vindicated, and like, because that's just the way that, like, this stuff works. And it's going to be annoying.
Oh, that press conference.
But, yeah. Like, and...
I be honest? I kind of hope he's right. I hope they rattle off every win. They win the Horizon League tournament.
Another game.
You're very anti-Gottlieb.
Yeah, I mean, you're a part-time coach and a part-time radio host.
I asked him at the very end of our conversation. I said, if you weren't hosting a radio show 5 days a week, does this look any different? And he said no. He said no. It absolutely doesn't look different.
He has to say that.
And then he said, you know, rather than sitting around breaking bread or talking smack, I think he said, with his Dobo and his assistant coaches, he's doing it on the radio. So, okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Keep trying to sell that. Congrats to the Green Bay Phoenix for being the first in history 17 in a row lost team that no one wants to see. It's just, it doesn't exist. That's not a thing. Nobody cares. He's becoming irrelevant. Nobody cares. You're so bad. It's like we're pointing and laughing at you, and we're going to mockingly celebrate maybe when you guys win next.
Yeah.
How many games did they lose before that player went out?
The streak had begun. I don't know how long it was. I could do the math quick.
There's not 17 games in a month.
No. No, so they lost him at UC Santa Barbara. Just give me a minute. I'll pull it up. But to your point, I mean, this streak existed prior. Do they win a game or two if he's playing? I don't doubt it's yes, because they were in some close games. But, like,
they let it happen four games in a row.
Coaching could help you.
Yeah. I mean, does the 28-0 run they allowed to Robert Morris happen last week? I don't know.
I wonder if some of those things could be attributed to coaching. If losing games late and not being able to sustain leads, or maybe losing leads or not being able to come back, I wonder if a coach could help there.
Okay, UC Santa Barbara was lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That was lost 7 of the 17 game win streak.
Oh, and then they've lost 10 more since then was what I was saying there.
Which the game after UC Santa Barbara was the nobody U game. Michigan Tech came to Green Bay and beat them. Yeah. And then they lost to Drake, who at the time may still be undefeated. They were at the time. And then, it's just been downhill since. But they've got good opportunities coming up, fellas. On Thursday, they go to Oakland, who is 9-13 on the air. And then they go to Detroit Mercy, who is 6-16.
How many wins do they have?
They're 2-20.
So they have 300% more wins than the team they're facing?
Yes, but they do play Detroit Mercy twice yet. And they are 6-16, so not very good either.
Yeah, that's a lot more wins.
It's true.
Triple the amount of wins.
Hey, they're going to break this streak. They're going to get a win eventually. They're college basketball. They're eventually going to get a win.
Fingers crossed they don't. What is the all-time losing record? Like, has a team gone fully defeated in college basketball? There has to be, right?
I would guess so.
Because, like, at some point, there was, like, plumbers playing against, like, the plumber trade against the Wisconsin Badgers back in the day.
The longest losing streak in Division I men's college basketball history is 41 games. That was set by the Towson Tigers between the 2011 and 2012 seasons. 41 games.
Shout out to them.
Wow. That's bad.
Dougie Gottlieb's on their heels.
59 games in the women's side, Chicago State.
Well, Bleacher Report has a article on the worst seasons in college basketball history. We have the 2010 Alcorn State, 2-29. 2006-07 Iona Gales, 2-28. 2004-05 Longwood Lancers, 1-30.
Okay, Dougie's past that, but he needs at least one more win so he's not on this Bleacher Report article.
Yeah. He might be joining the Iona Gales, which is not a good place to be.
Yikes. Oh, that is something else. All right. Well, there you have it. Nobody wants to see the Green Bay Phoenix come March. But look, I respect it. And you can be critical of somebody you like, right? Like, you can, and Doug's been good to me. Every time I've asked for an interview in the middle of this nonsense, he said yes or said we can do it soon. So I appreciate his respect of me doing my job, right? Like, I love college basketball. I'm the college basketball junkie. And nobody's afraid to see the Phoenix. I wanted everybody to hear that clip.
The important thing here is, the same issue that we all had before this started, and the same thing you're commending him for, is because it's all about him. He's willing to do interviews because, guess what? Doug Gottlieb's on, and he's talking. He's getting to sell himself and his program.
You're right, but I will give you one counterpoint, and he said this to me before. Who was talking about Green Bay basketball a year ago when they were in third place? He does have a point there.
Yeah,
we were, actually, on this show because we had Sonny Wicks on, but other than us, not many.
Yeah, I'm talking about it because you're historically bad.
Joshy, nobody wants to see them.
But no kids are going to go there.
Nobody wants to see them. Scary.
This is going to end bad, and there's going to be things said about him and his lack of attentiveness that is going to make everyone go, told you so.
Yeah, probably.
And then he's going to have to tuck his tail and go back to his radio program and listen to people prank him about his team that can't win damn games.
Well, he's got a 5-year contract. And they are still paying at least one other, if not two other coaches. So he's back next year.
I hope he keeps losing.
I just don't see how they fire him after year one.
No.
It doesn't make sense.
They probably won't.
It doesn't make sense.
He'll get fired.
It just might be like year three before that happens. Yeah, so we'll see. All right. There you go.
You should coach him.
Somebody
probably
asked
the same
me
number of wins
today.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me today if Ben Brust was both coaching the Green Bay Phoenix and hosting Kyle Brust and Ortman every day, would he win more games or the same amount of games as Doug Gottlieb?
I think he gets that team to 2 wins.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it's just putting the ball in the bucket.
I don't know that he's doing a better job, but I think he's doing an equal job.
Yeah.
But
it's also the fact that they led like 4 or 5 of these games at the half. And I just feel like Ben would figure out a way to give them a win or two in there. So that's where I almost think that they would go more because he would be able to like keep them on track. Like, see, we were doing it. They're going to adjust. Now we have to respond to what their adjustments are. Like, I just feel like Ben has as much grief as I give him. Like, he's got a good enough head on his shoulders to be able to figure that out when it comes to basketball.
There's a lot of things you could say about Ben Brust, but winning ball games, he knows how to do that.
Yeah.
I've watched him do it.
Right after he was in the hospital 2 weeks ago for biting right through his top lip at men's league. So, good stuff. All right, that does it for us today. We're back with you Wednesday beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We are continuing to peddle the 4-star review. I don't want 5, I want 4. Just give me 4 stars. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We are back with you Wednesday. Got some fun stuff cooking up for Super Bowl week. We're going to have a couple Super Bowl champions join us next week. So looking forward to that as we lead you up to Chiefs and Eagles coming up on the 9th of February. But in the meantime, we will continue to break down the Packers offseason and what is to come. What are you laughing about?
How integral to these Super Bowls are these guests?
One of them should have been a Super Bowl MVP.
I was going to say, there's one I can think of that is obviously James White.
Yep. One of them was on the 2010 team.
The Green Bay Packers 2010 team?
Yes. So Brian Bulaga.
Does his name rhyme with Merritt Mush?
No, his name rhymes with Ryan Rulaga.
Wow.
And then we'll see what else we got up the sleeve. But James White joined us last year, ran Super Bowl week, tell some stories, reminisce, talk about Mahomes, where he ranks against Brady. So we haven't had James on in a while, so we're going to get him back on the show and work on Bulaga as long as he's not on vacation or anything, you know? So I haven't talked to Brian, but I assume he'll be willing to come on. I mean,
you're teasing guests that you haven't reached out to, Strofe. That's where you're at.
Well, hold on.
What are we
I didn't
doing?
Tease them. I said we've got something good in the bag, or we've got a good week coming up. But that doesn't mean.
But you're setting up the expectation of something. If it's just
I wasn't anticipating a follow up. I was anticipating we're done with the show now.
But you set it up saying, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good week. So then you're setting
Josh,
people up
show.
To expect things to be set up well. Like, what are we doing,
Josh,
man?
End the show for me. Just do it.
Tune in next week to hear Super Bowl champion Aaron Rodgers join Mr. Irrelevant. Talk to you on Wednesday.